Mr. Speaker.
The week in the House began with the first question time since Finance Minister Bill English delivered his eighth budget last Thursday, and he was keen to expand on its merits with the help of patsy questions from his own backbenchers, such as this one from National List MP Nook Karako.
What choices does Budget 2016 make to support the growing economy and strengthen our communities?
The Honourable Bill English.
Well, Mr. Speaker, there was four main packages. Innovative New Zealand, that delivers $761 million over 4 years for science, skills and regional development. There's a $2.1 billion public infrastructure program.
Mr. English handed over the defence of his budget to his Prime Minister, John Key, who faced questions from opposition leader Andrew Little.
After 8 long years... and $440,000 of house price increases in Auckland, isn't it time to stop the excuses, stop coming up with half-baked, half-hearted measures and just adopt Labor's plan to implement a national policy statement on affordable housing, abolish the Auckland urban growth boundary, stop foreign speculators and build thousands of affordable homes for Kiwis?
The right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, the Labor Party doesn't have a plan, it has a pipe dream. And in fact, the last time I looked rapidly, the Labor Party was adopting the National Party plan. I think over time we'll find that they'll get there on all of these wonderful things that we're doing.
The Prime Minister, John Key, while Winston Peters was more interested in another aspect of the budget, its increase in tax on tobacco and cigarettes, which the New Zealand First Leader and Member for Northland raised in questions to Associate Health Minister, Pazeta Sam Lotu-Inga.
Minister, why has the government, while filling its coffers with over $1,600 million in taxes, launched this further attack on consumers of a legal product, many of whom are poor, a disproportionate number of which are Maori and Pacific Islander?
The Honourable Pacitar Sam Lotu-Inga.
Mr. Speaker, that member knows that the direct costs of tobacco smoking can be up to $1.9 billion. That member also knows that the intangible costs have been estimated to be up to $11 billion. And, sir, these measures that we're putting in place are about reducing the harm to New Zealanders.
Mr. Peters wanted to know why the government did not simply ban tobacco, while the Associate Minister also faced questions from the ACT member for Epsom, David Seymour, who asked him how far the budget measures were expected to reduce the percentage of adult smokers from the current level of 15%.
The Honourable Pacifier Sam Lotu-Inga.
Mr. Speaker, I don't have a crystal ball to see what is going to happen 4 years from now. But what I do know is that the rates of smoking have consistently decreased since this government has been in power.
Mr. Seymour tried again.
If the Minister lacks a crystal ball, could he at least be good enough to give the House his best estimate upon which he introduced these policies?
Mr. Lotu-Inga repeated his claim that smoking rates had declined under National, drawing yet another question from the ACT MP.
Is the House to take it that he actually has no idea what the benefits of his policy will be, even though the costs will be large?
The Honourable Pacitar Sam Lotu-Inga.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I refute that assertion by the member. In fact, that member voted for these measures last Friday. So I put it to that member that what he voted for was clearly beneficial to New Zealanders. It's going to bring the smoking rates down. And, I suggest he thinks about why we voted the way we did last Friday.
Which, in Mr. Seymour's case, was required by his party's formal agreement to support National on budget measures, while the Minister for Building and Housing, Nick Smith, faced this question from his Labour shadow, Phil Twyford.
Does he think that Auckland Council's plan to drip-feed 11,000 hectares of land into supply over the next 30 years is enough, or does he agree with Labour that getting rid of the boundary would do more to bring land prices down?
The Honourable Dr.
The irony in that member's statement is that when the Productivity Commission came out with exactly that recommendation, he called it an ideological burp from the extreme right. When I changed that policy 3 years ago and start implementing it, he said it was an, quote, idiotic policy. So I say to the member opposite, listen to his own advice. He's come a late conversion on the road to Damascus. We're getting on and doing the hard work.
Building and Housing Minister Nick Smith. I'm Tom Frewin, and this program was made with funding from Parliament.